Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. Prepare your heart for laughter and tears as we share the unpolished stories of the homeless and hurting, hope and transformation. Here's your host, director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Tim Lane.
Well, I'm glad you joined us today. We were talking before the show started. It's kind of a gray and a gloomy day looking outside. We're expecting a pretty good storm. And we were talking about some of the other ills that have befallen California, and those being things like the immorality that seems to run rampant throughout our society, not just in California, but throughout the United States. I see it in television shows. I saw it in a movie that I watched the other day that I thought was a docudrama, I guess, of an inventor of an atomic weapon, only to find out that, yes, that was certainly true, but there was a blatant scene in the middle of it. It was just vulgar in every way. And so we're subject to all this stuff around us that sneaks up on us, and yes, we need to keep our eyes open and our hearts alert. You know, the devil has never changed the way that he does business. From the very beginning, it's been sex and money and alcohol or drugs, power. And you know what? In all these thousands of years since Adam and Eve first walked into the garden or walk in the garden, he's never changed his strategy. And the reason he's never changed it is because it's always worked, and it still works. And if you think that we are different than the people that were back in, as they say, the biblical days, then I think that you're misguided. We still have the same lusts, the same greeds, the same covetousness that we have always had. And I see it manifest more and more. We've come a long way from the times where Leave It to Beaver went to church on Sunday on TV to where Christians are always mocked and humiliated and made fun of. And immorality is always lifted up. Oh, I know what you're saying right now. Boy, this guy sounds like he's like 100 years old. Pretty close. But the bottom line is that I see it grows exponentially, it seems like, every year. I have a friend of mine on the air with me today. He's worked at the mission much longer than I have. He's 38 years, I believe. I'm always kind of getting it wrong, but he nodded his head. That's right. And I see the trials, the tribulations, the struggles. He's not only a guy that works at the mission as the, you know, as a frontline director. He is my good friend whom I love with my heart, and his family, and so we've been friends as well as co-workers for a long time. And we were talking about some of the things that I noticed. We no longer have the ability to blush in this country. Nothing surprises us. Nothing makes us. I walked by. We were going to a restaurant the other day, and over by a grocery store, a big one, there's a stone wall out there that you can sit on. And there was a guy in a robe, and the robe was behind him, and he was naked laying there. No shame. Nobody coming to arrest him. Just laying there naked. We pass by like it's just the average thing to do. I was telling Stephen that I saw a promotional ad for a TV show that, and no, I don't watch it. It's called Naked and Afraid. And the young lady that was there, everything's blurred out on the promotional ad. But she gets out and she takes off her clothes and she says, "Freedom!" And then the very next scene in this promotional ad is she's sitting on the ground weeping because it's so hard. But it made me think of the fact that that's exactly how so much of our society works. We got freedom from God. We don't have to obey the rules of our ancestors. We get to do whatever we want to do. And freedom is nothing more than a horrible trap that the devil has designed, whispering in your ear that freedom from God is real freedom, and freedom from God isn't real freedom. It is real slavery. I see abortion clinics that are all up and down the United States. We are looking at older people now and saying, well, you know, let's let them die with dignity by pumping a needle into their arms. And, you know, one of the founding fathers said that you can, I believe it was, said that you can tell a society best by how it treats the weakest and the most helpless in its society. And who is that? Children and old people and the poor who don't have anything. Do I feel, does it sound like a rant? Maybe it does. But let me tell you something. I am sold out for the cause of Jesus Christ. It's to him that we owe everything. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one ever comes to the Father but through him. You are saved by grace through faith. That is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. The Word of God is the inerrant Word of the living God. You don't have to accept it, but it just astounds me how many people want to shut you up from actually talking about God or the Word of God. Okay, well, if you don't want to believe it, don't believe it. But why do you want to restrict other people from hearing it? At any rate, this is a strange time in life for all of us, I guess. But I want you to know that I have a prayer list, and I pray for our donors, and I pray for our country, and I pray for those that are lost. And the people of God aren't haters. The people of God want everyone to come to that knowledge, even though we know that that's simply not going to happen. So at any rate, having said all that, I've got a very good friend of mine here sitting across from me. His name is Stephen Jarrett. He has been on the show many times with me, and I hope that he will be on many more. So, Stephen, would you like to say hello to all the folks?
Yeah, it's been a while. Hello, everybody, and I hope everybody's life is going the way that the Lord would have them, in the path that he chooses for them. And you know how I am. I don't like doing this, but I'm here, and so I'm glad that I'll be able to talk about the mission and the things we do there, because I am, my heart is there, so that prompts me to speak about it, even though maybe I'm not too into the radio type of situation. I thought I'd get that out there.
I've been at the mission for almost 19 years, and Stephen has been there for 38, as we talked about earlier. And so, Stephen, I was asked this question today by two of the people who came in to donate from their church, and maybe you would like to address this too. Have you seen a great deal of change in the homeless population from the time that you started to today?
Oh, yeah. A tremendous change. Just by the age groups that are out there now, I usually have older men like 50 and up would be the ones that we would service in the 80s and the early 90s, to younger men, and to now in the last 10 years or so, so many women that are on the streets that are with their children that I never would have fathomed 20 years ago. Would have never thought that would be the case.
Yeah, when I started coming down, don't misunderstand, I've been director for almost 19 years, but I've been coming down for many years before that as a volunteer, bringing a church down there for probably, I don't know, 14 or 15 years before I ever became director. And to your point, Stephen, I remember that there was very few women, and of those women, they were usually ones that had been almost generational, like a young lady we both know that she was born and grew up there at the church. Exactly. I haven't seen her for a few years. Hopefully she's in an apartment, but she would be out there on the street. She would, you know, have a boyfriend or whatever. But that wasn't very common. But the last 20 years, it's really changed.
Oh, yeah. It's so many of them that, you know, where we have our clothes closet on Tuesdays and Thursdays for the ladies, and they'll have a Bible study and to get clothing and accessories. It has grown from maybe you get 10 to, you know, 10 or 20 maybe in that week I think we're doing like at least 40 or more will come during the week just for that time. And not even talking about the ones that, you know, that don't want to come in to get those services for whatever reason that are still out there. And it's just amazing that they're out there and they just lost, that's just their life. They lost all hope of, seemed to be anyway, lost hope of, you know, doing anything else different but what they're doing, just existing.
Yeah, and, you know, for a woman out on the street, there is a constant threat of rape and and brutalization in other ways. Yep. You know, they're physically often, well, not that young lady we were talking about earlier. She was tough.
Yeah.
But there's always somebody tougher on the street. But there is not just the rapes and the beatings and the things like that, but oftentimes people out on the street will use their bodies to get the things that they want, and that's a form of slavery as well.
Indeed.
Steve and I have seen a lot of things together throughout the years. I'm going to ask you a question that is often asked of me when I speak at a church, and I think your answer will probably be similar. But they ask, what is the percentage of people out on the street that are mentally ill as opposed to the amount of people that are out on the street that are drug addicted? So how would you answer that?
I've come to the realization that a lot of those who are mentally ill is because of their drug addictions, because they use so many drugs so much, and the drugs that are out there now, it has is so potent that it affects them physically to where they can't recapture who they were. They the damage that was done cannot be undone.
That's right.
And so we see people out there that's, you know, they're labeled as being bipolar and schizophrenic, and it's mostly because of the drugs that they had introduced to their bodies. And without, you know, without regard of what it would actually do to them.
Yep. Just so you know, and I really knew you would say it, because what I have told people out in the churches, and this wasn't something Steve and I talked about beforehand, but I just know he's seen this, the same thing that I've seen for these years. And so they'll ask me that question. I'll say, well, first of all, I have no idea how many people started mentally ill and took drugs. But I can tell you that those that had a healthy mind that started taking drugs, if you do it long enough, you're going to be mentally ill, as you just said. And so it's hard to quantify who, because there's not just a clear cut, this group is mentally ill and this group is doing drugs, because they're handmaidens to each other. And so, and Stephen brought it up, and he's so right. The potency of the drugs that are on the street have made a huge difference in the last few decades,
yes,
right?
Yes, especially with the fentanyl hitting the streets in the last, 10, 12 years or whatever?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it has been damaging. I mean, at worst case scenario, it kills people.
Yeah.
When they take too much, not knowing that that's within the drugs that they bought, to causing them just not to be capable of putting a sentence together. Sometimes I interview men as they come on the program, and wanted to get on the program, and some are just hard for them to fill out an application. Something like, you know, writing their name down and where they lived before, and they have a hard and difficult time to even putting that together and understanding that, you know, that this has taken away their you know, their functioning because of the drugs that they have done to themselves.
Yeah, absolutely true. You have to realize, if you happen to be a child of the 60s or 70s, you have a whole different outlook on what drugs are. so many people from that time did marijuana. And the thing that you would worry about with marijuana back then is, did they use pesticides on it?
Right.
But now, to Stephen's point, we think of fentanyl being in a pill form, but fentanyl has been introduced even to the marijuana industry. And so you can sometimes find fentanyl right directly in marijuana. And even the marijuana that we have today is much more potent than what they had back when in the 60s and 70s. Plus the fact there are so many new drugs coming out all the time. They're derivations of old drugs, but everything seems to have fentanyl in it. And that is a nasty killer drug, right?
It's been shown to be. So many, you hear it in the news. It's not a day go by where you hear on somebody's newscast that someone has died from fentanyl.
Yeah.
That overdosed by, not knowing what they're taking or taking too much.
Yeah, we have a good friend at the mission who preaches down there named Tony, and he is a pastor. And his son was an athlete, and he hurt himself, and they gave him painkillers. And when he ran out of the painkillers, he still hurt. And so he got some pills from a friend so that he would, could deal with the pain. I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying that's how it happened. And he took one of the three pills that he'd bought, convulsed, fell on the floor in front of his mom and dad, and died within minutes from fentanyl poisoning. And so when they examined the pills afterwards, the two that remained, or how many ever there were, they said there was enough in each one of those pills of fentanyl to kill 5 grown men. And he wasn't a high school guy. He was a college guy, I believe. But still, he had no chance. There was no chance they could revive him because the potency of those pills was so high. And, we don't even quite grasp why this stuff is being introduced into some of this stuff, excepting that it's extremely addictive, right?
Yeah, I don't know the thought behind it. Why would he use that to cut or to lace things?
Mm-hmm.
But apparently that's what they, chose to do, and it's still rampant as we speak.
Yeah, absolutely. How about the attitudes of the people on the street? Have they changed over the decades that you've been there?
Yeah, a lot more. Now, I want to preface this by saying there's a lot of homeless that we help that are just happy and thankful
courteous.
That we're there and courteous. And, as they get clothes, as they take showers, get showers and get mail there, that, they're happy that we're there and not being aggressive. But then you have a set of people that are very aggressive towards you, even offering something to them, even though they come to get help from you. And you talk about a certain type of help, then you get attitudes or even hostility.
Well, this is what you have to do.
Right, you have to do, or sometimes just, you do everything I ask you to do because you're supposed to do that, with that type of attitude. And it's very challenging, especially for our men that are, ministering to that population as they're, trying to go through their program.
Absolutely. We have like 24 guys maximum that we can have on our recovery program. And to Stephen's point, part of their recovery is the fact that they are dealing with, jobs that they do around the mission a few hours a day that they have to deal with some of the homeless population. And it can be very challenging for them who are trying to recover from drugs or alcohol or whatever the case may be, and then getting disrespected by people that they're trying to help. That's why I've told many people in churches, please don't go out thinking that you're going to go take out food or do things to the homeless and you're going to always have them smile and be grateful. It doesn't work like
not
that.
Not always. I mean, you want to help, and that's what we do. And we want to, you know, we're showing the love of Christ to them, regardless of how they may act towards us. So we're not shying away from that by no means. But if that does happen, as we're just kind of let everybody know that, you know, there's all types of ways that people approach living life on the streets. And unfortunately, there's more people are speaking are more hostile and aggressive sometimes than others.
Yeah, you know, I kind of think of it in the way of, you know, we think of gold strikes as being they chip into a big gold vein and the guy gets rich, right? Mm-hmm. But they used to do it by ton of ore. And so maybe they'd get $500 or they'd get $200 per ton of ore, which meant that, you know, you have an ounce of gold, but it takes a ton of ore to get it out of there, right? Well, it's the same way with the homeless population. Stephen hit on it. If you've had close proximity to some of the homeless, you may be discouraged by attitudes that you see. However, that's not the attitude of every homeless person out there. Some homeless people are extremely grateful for what's done for them. And we run into that all the time. So, but sometimes you have to deal with a lot of other things before you get to the gold, right?
Yeah, that's very true.
And so,
but you stay true to the course, though.
Well, and it's always the same thing, you know. It's important to realize that if one soul, 10 souls, 100 souls, or 1,000 souls over the course of a ministry really become true believers of Christ, and they are no longer on the street, they're no longer a burden to you or society, they're not begging from you. More importantly, they're on their way to be with Christ eternally. Is all the effort worth it? And I say it is.
The answer is yes.
And you've been doing this a lot longer than me, Stephen. So,
well,
you know.
As one that came on the program way back 39 years ago, grateful that the mission was there then, and I'm grateful we're still doing what God intends us to do.
Amen. And I've been there almost, as I said, 19 years, and I've been grateful for all the years. I've been grateful for Stephen being there with me, always helping, always filling me in on the places that I was unaware, always doing it, kindly and those type of things. We can never stop, as the Bible says, do not get tired of doing good.
Right.
And don't be discouraged if you're not always greeted with thanksgiving. We got 1 minute, Stephen. Would you like to say anything to anybody?
We just covet your prayers.
Amen.
Because we need it. Everyone that is there, staff members and program men and the people that we help on the streets, our guests, they all need our prayers, especially prayers of knowing who Christ is and making that prayer being a real thing of being connected with Christ through God, through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. And so, as always, my dear friends, until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of His hand.
You've been listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If your heart's been touched and you want to know more about the work of the mission, log on to UGMSAC.com, UGMSAC.com. To donate clothing, food, time, or financial help, call 916-447-3268, 916-447-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.